It's great seeing everyone today. For those who don't know me, my name's Jacob. You might have noticed you have a little thing on your chairs, or hopefully. And you'll notice that actually we've got four very special, slightly different services, and this is the first of them. We've been thinking, well, we're going to be thinking about some different things that actually many people in our society feel like they are lacking. This morning, we're thinking about purpose. Why am I here? What purpose do I have? Where can I find my purpose? I mean, these are some of the most natural questions known to mankind, aren't they? I mean, you can find them on the lips of small children. Mummy, why am I here? You can hear them from the mouths of the elderly on their deathbeds. What was the purpose of all that? You see, we all want answers to these questions. And yet, I think answers elude us. I mean, at least a definitive answer about our purpose eludes us. For all the collective thinking that the human race has done on this question, I don't think we've come up with a definitive answer. All we have are just lots and lots of different opinions. I mean, on one extreme, you get the hedonist, the one who considers the very purpose of their existence to be about maximizing their own joy and happiness. But they often run into a little bit of a problem. See, all the joy and pleasure they get proves momentary, fleeting. Here today, gone tomorrow. They spend all their time striving just after the next thing as if maybe that will fulfill. But it doesn't. While others, they consider purpose to be maybe a little bit more flexible. Maybe it isn't so set in stone. Maybe it can change. In fact, it's really just whatever you want it to be, they say. They say, find something you like, something you deem valuable, make that the very purpose of your existence. But again, I think they have problems too. Listen to the words of David Bodea. I think I've got a picture of him on the screen. You might not know him. It'll come up in a second. He was an Olympic diver. Shall we see? It's coming. Well, either way, there he is, David Bodea. He was an Olympic diver. He decided that his purpose in life, the thing he wanted to live his life as his goal, his aim, was to get a gold medal, as many do. You see, he thought that winning gold would mean, in his words, success, happiness, joy, fulfillment. So he said, that's what I chased. And the harder I pressed and the closer I got to that goal, the more miserable life became. Every time I thought I'd almost achieved the goal, well, suddenly a new one took its place. No matter what I accomplished, and no matter how happy I should have been, fulfillment always seemed just beyond my grasp. And then he did actually go on to win the gold in 2012, so well done, David. But afterwards he spoke of how empty and unsatisfied he was with it. Alternatively, others come to a very different conclusion about our purpose. They say, well, maybe our purpose is something we find. Maybe it's something that we're to discover. We just need to find it, right? But we know that doesn't quite, that's not such a great answer, is it? Because what happens when we search, and we spend our lives looking for this purpose that will satisfy and fulfill, but then can't find it? Slightly problematic. I mean, there are loads of opinions out there about our purpose. Far too many to count, far many to survey today. But I think, really, no answers seem to stand out. Now, there are some questions to which not having an answer has zero consequences for our lives. Think of knowing exactly the number of hairs on your head. Doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter in the slightest. But when it comes to our purpose, having no answer, not knowing, well, it's devastating. Some have labelled it a meaning crisis, a purpose crisis. Living life unsure of what our purpose is, actually, I don't know about you, but it fills many with anxiety. Am I using my life well? Maybe if I was doing X, Y, or Z, chasing this dream or living for that purpose, maybe then things would be better. Not knowing our purpose actually therefore leaves us restless, striving for something more, striving to fulfill or achieve whatever we deem our purpose to be. But everything we think that just might fulfill us, well, either it fails to fulfill us or we fail to achieve it. Either way, we're left crushed and demoralized, left exactly where we were starting, searching aimlessly for purpose and not finding it. And this search, I just think, is exhausting. We know that if we do have a greater purpose, if we're made for more, well, it's of utmost importance that we find out what it is. Here we are, living our lives without knowing for sure what we're doing here, what we're meant to be doing, where our lives are to be heading. Take a moment to consider all the things that humans have ever made, invented, or created. Yeah, it's very hard to do that all at once, isn't it? You'd realise, though, that everything ever made has a purpose. Think of the plane, it has its wings for a purpose. The building, it has its foundations for a purpose. Aldi has a self-checkout line for a purpose. The water bottle has a lid, you guessed it, for a purpose. And yet here we are wandering through life purposeless. We humans, far more intricate and impressive than anything ever conceived of or invented in the human minds. Here we are, and we don't know what our purpose is. We don't know where our purpose is found. There are loads of opinions out there about where to find this purpose, but they are, at best, exactly that. Just opinions. Opinions that flow from the human mind. And I wonder whether that is the problem with all of those opinions. See, what if our purpose is not actually something that we have to figure out or find? What if our purpose is not for us to come up with or invent? What if we have been looking for an answer in the wrong place altogether? Well, I want you to do some imagining, and for those who know me, you'd have to do quite a lot of imagining for this. Imagine that I was an abstract artist, and I painted this beautiful art piece that became like the Mona Lisa of our day, yeah? World famous. It was so adored that it was put on display in the Louvre in Paris, and it drew lots of attention by philosophers and deep thinkers. They loved trying to work out what it all meant. It became a common question asked around dinner tables across the world. What does Jacob's famous piece of artwork mean? What's Jacob saying through that piece of artwork? Some, they saw the sharp contrast of colours, and they concluded that I was speaking of the division of the world we live in. Others, they saw the vibrance of the different colours and concluded, well, Jacob is clearly speaking of the inherent beauty of the natural world. Others, they saw hidden within those colours some deep, hidden political message. And others considered it utterly meaningless just a few random splashes of colour on a canvas. Many people had many different conclusions about this piece of work. Many different conclusions, but at best, these conclusions, they're all just glorified guesses. Opinions flowing from the minds of those who really have no idea. You see, there is only one way to find the correct conclusion. There is only one way to come to the correct conclusion, and that is to talk to me, the artist. Only the artist knows the meaning, the purpose of his piece of art. See, only I could tell you what my abstract art is doing, what it's saying. And you see, there are many answers out there about why we're here, our purpose. But if we want more than just mere guesses, man-made opinions, we must look to the artist, the one behind it all, and see if he has revealed the answer to our questions. So let me read a short verse from the reading earlier. So we had a whole sections of Colossians read. We're just going to look at one single verse, verse 16. And it's a verse that's describing Jesus. This is what it says. It says, in him, that's in Jesus, in him all things were created. Things in heaven or on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. All things? Whether visible or invisible, all things were made, according to this verse, by Jesus. Quick challenge. Can anyone think of anything that doesn't fit into the categories of visible or invisible? Have a think. I really tried. I probably spent way too long thinking about this. Concluded I couldn't. If you do tell me later. But I think that's the point, isn't it? All things were made by Jesus. According to Colossians 1:16, all things were made in him and through him. Jesus, he's the artist behind all that exists. He's the artist behind the beautiful sunsets and the raging waterfalls. He's the architect who's designed the mountains and who's laid the very foundations of the earth. He's the author of our genetic code. In fact, the author of all life. And if this is true, if Jesus is actually the artist behind absolutely everything, then we shouldn't look anywhere else, should we? Or look to anyone else to find out what our purpose is. We should look to him to see what he says about why we're here. And amazingly, contained in the small verse I just read from the Bible, we can actually see what our purpose is. He's revealed it to us. The very purpose of all of our existence, it's right there in verse 16. So you may have missed it, so let me read it again for you. In him, as in Jesus, in him all things were created, things in heaven or on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Three very significant words. And for him. I mean, we can think quite individually. I have an individual purpose. You have an individual purpose. You have a different individual purpose. But the Bible says that all that exists shares one grand purpose. All that exists, the antelope in Africa, the mud in Morecambe, the human in Honduras, in fact, every single atom of the entire universe was made with one purpose in mind, Jesus. We live for him. We breathe for him. We exist for him. The Creator, he has revealed the very purpose of our existence. It's him. Jesus made us for himself, to live for him, to serve him, to enjoy him, to have relationship with him. Now, the Bible has quite a lot to say about what it looks like to live for Jesus. Again, far too much to cover in a few minutes just now. So actually, if you don't know much about Jesus, about what it would look like to live for him, I'd encourage you to actually make that a goal. Make that your goal, to find out more. But in the meantime, I think there is one thing I want you to go away knowing. That actually living for Jesus is the best way to live your life. Living for him is the best way to live, for it's the way that you were made to live. Don't know if you're convinced. Maybe you think you'd be more satisfied or fulfilled living out a purpose of your own choosing. Well, if that's you, pause for a second and consider a spoon. Consider a spoon. Hope you're considering one. Imagine that this spoon could speak and choose its own purpose. It's an odd thing for a spoon to do, isn't it? It was created for a purpose, to help someone eat soup. But this spoon, it says to its creator, I don't want to live for the purpose you made me. I'm not really a soup spoon. I want to choose how to live. The purpose of my existence. I want to dig big holes. Okay. Well, a spoon can be used to dig. Maybe the spoon runs off on its metaphorical legs and starts to fulfill its new purpose of digging holes. The problem, however, is that this spoon believed a lie, that it knew better than its creator. You see, it thought it would be better off pursuing its own plans and purposes, living, well, against the purpose it was made. But the reality is that before long, the spoon will find out that it's not really made for digging. It's not at its best when it's digging. I mean, it would start digging, a bend would start to appear, it would dig some more, a bigger bend, until finally spoon snaps. Now obviously my point really isn't anything to do with spoons, so if I've lost you in all this talk about spoons, I'm sorry. But this is my point. That actually disregarding the purpose you were made for is foolish. Just like the spoon is best off doing what it was made for, well, so are we. We are best off when we are living in line with the very purpose for which we were made, which is for him. I mean, if you come to know Jesus, you could say goodbye to the anxious and frantic search for meaning and purpose. For you'd have found the very purpose of your existence. You'd also not have to fear failing to achieve your purpose, or being crushed under the pressure of your desire to achieve your purpose. For your purpose is to know Jesus. And whoever you are, whatever you've done, you can know Jesus. For he wants relationship with you. It's why he came as a man all those years ago, and it's why he died and rose again, so you could know him today. Listen to the one who knows your purpose and the one who's made you, the one who calls you to come and live out your life for him. Now, he doesn't promise that living for him will make life easy and problem-free. In fact, far from it. As we read more and more of the Bible, we find out that actually living for him has its challenges and difficulties. But Jesus, I think, does promise that a life lived for him is a life lived right. A life lived for him is never wasted. Living any other way will actually leave you empty and unsatisfied, but living for Jesus, living for him, will satisfy and fulfill, for it is what we were made for. Now, there was a famous writer in the 5th century, Augustine. He was a Christian, and he famously penned these words that I think helpfully get across what I'm trying to say. He wrote this: "You have created us for yourself, O Lord." He's speaking to God. "You have created us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." He knew something of the restlessness of our very souls, longing to know where we might find our purpose. And he says, our souls are restless until they find their rest in God. So if you feel purposeless, restless, weighed down by your endless pursuit of meaning, if you're exhausted by that endless pursuit of meaning and purpose, if you've spent your life looking in all of the wrong places and you don't know where to turn, well, consider this your invitation to look to Jesus, the artist behind all that exists, and listen to what he says. He made you, and he knows the very purpose for which you were made. And he calls you to find your rest, your purpose, your meaning in him. So why don't I pray for us as we finish? Lord God, we praise you for all that you've done in creating the world. You are the creator of all that exists. Lord God, we praise you for the waterfalls, the beautiful sunsets. Lord God, we praise you for just how glorious and wonderful you are. And we thank you, Lord God, that actually you didn't make us purposeless, but you made us to know you, to live for you, to have relationship with you. And we thank you that you have made that possible through your Son, Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to really, well, investigate Jesus more, get to know him more. Help us to find our very purpose, our meaning in knowing him and living for him. We pray this in your name. Amen.